Accession number 21278, Reel 4.
Pember, Reel 4. So, Cliff Pember, Reel 4. So, the Falaise Gap, which was not long before you were injured, wasn't it? Or wounded. Cliff Pember, Reel 4. So, the Falaise Gap, which was not long before you were injured, wasn't it? Or wounded.
After the invasion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you see of the Falaise Gap?
Well, as I said, our tank got blown up on a mine. And
Cliff Pember, Reel 4. So, the Falaise Gap, which was not long before you were injured, wasn't it? Or wounded.
After the invasion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you see of the Falaise Gap?
Well, as I said, our tank got blown up on a mine, and then I got wounded after, and I came home then, like, and I didn't rejoin the union then.
Right. Did you see the Falaise Gap before? Cliff Pember, Reel 4. So, the Falaise Gap, which was not long before you were injured, wasn't it? Or wounded.
After the invasion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you see of the Falaise Gap?
Well, as I said, our tank got blown up on a mine, and then I got wounded after, and I came home then, like, and I didn't rejoin the union then.
Right. Did you see the Falaise Gap before the Phantoms came in?
Yes, I remember going through the town of Falaise. I remember going through there, but that's about all recollection I got of it. Like.
Right. So you didn't go
with everything.
Cliff Pember, Reel 4. So
the planes come down and
yes,
strafe some of the, killed about 500 Americans, I think.
Right. So you were taken out of France on a Dakota.
On a Dakota, yeah.
Yeah. So how many casualties were there on the plane?
There was about 90 stretcher cases, I think, and so many walking patients, like.
Right. Do you know where you took off from?
No, I don't know what the aerodrome. Right. Well, it's not far from Carpiki, I expect.
Yes.
That was the aerodrome there, wasn't it, by Villers-Bacage.
Right.
Carpiki aerodrome was there, like.
Uh-huh. And where did you land in the UK?
Swindon.
Swindon, right. And where did they take you then?
Well, I can tell you a story. When I got onto the plane and it took off, the stewardess came around and said, "Anybody here from South Wales?" I said, "Yes, I am." She looks at her watch. She said, "You'll just be in time for the South Wales hospital train." I said, "Where are you landing?" She said, "Swindon." Oh, I said, "That's nice." Anyway, when they're going up now, she came back and see me. She said, "You'll miss it." I said, "Why is that?" She said, "The Germans are bombing Marlbury Harbour. So we got to go around Cherbourg way." So a bit delayed. Anyway, when we get over Swindon, she said, "Look down there. See a train going out, you know?" She said, "That's your train." I said, "Where's the next one?" She said, "Leicester." So I ended up in Leicester Royal Infirmary.
Right. Yeah. So what was it like? How did you get from Swindon to Leicester? By train?
By train, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I thought that the Salvation Army was very good.
Really?
Because they came along and see me and wanted to know if they wanted any telegram sent. So I said yes, and they sent them off. No problem.
Really?
Very good.
Yeah. So they were about?
They were about.
At the stations and on the trains, yeah.
They were there. Very good.
Yeah. So you got to Leicester.
Yeah.
So what was that like? You were taken to the infirmary.
Royal Infirmary, aye. Leicester Royal Infirmary, I was in there, yeah. And then my girlfriend, as she was then, and my parents came up and see me.
So how bad were your injuries?
Not all that bad. Lucky, I think, more than anything. Because I thought they were bullets in my leg, but they weren't bullets. They were pieces of shrapnel, like.
Yeah.
If they'd been bullets, they'd probably taken my foot off, like. But I think the only reason why they sent me home is because, as I told you before, my foot was going forward like that and I couldn't stop it.
Right.
So once they covered your wounds, they got to send you home. So they put it in plaster and that was it, like.
Right. So what treatment did you have at Leicester?
Well, just ordinary treatment, like, on your legs and bandage and different things, like. Then I went from Leicester then to Grantham Hospital. which I was in the maternity ward.
Really?
Only six beds.
Yeah.
And they all in. And the men used to come in and see their wives and their babies and pass us like, you know. And when I got discharged from there, I went to Lincoln Workhouse.
Did you?
And I always remember that because we went in and there was a, you know, the big wards. And there was one little boy there. And there was a couple of us in this place waiting for to come home, like. So we were going out and we were going to get some chips. So we said to the young boy, "Do you want any chips?" "Yes," he said, "I'll have some chips." Of course, when we came back, the sister stopped us because he just had his appendix out. So then I came home then.
Sorry, it was Leicester Royal Infirmary, then Grantham.
Grantham and then Lincoln.
Lincoln. And that was the workhouse, was
and
it?
And then I went from there up to Catterick Camp.
Did you have any leave during that time?
Oh, sorry, no. But when I come out of Lincoln Hospital, they sent me home on 17 days leave when I got married. Then after the leave, I went up to Catterick Camp for a medical.
And you passed, did you?
Yeah. And from there, they sent me down to Newmarket, Chippenham Camp.
Right.
Where I joined the fighting forefront.
Right.
From a recuperation course there.
Oh, right. What did that involve?
Well, getting you used to the tanks. In the morning, we used to go in the tanks. In the afternoon, was your leisure time. You could either go sugar beet picking, play sport, or whatever. If you went sugar beet picking, the farmers would give you 5 shillings.
So did you do that?
Yeah, I went sugar beet picking. And they showed us around the sugar beet factory and all when we finished, like. So then, while I was there, I was expecting Christmas leave. But before Christmas come, the Germans broke through in the Ardennes. So they gave us medicals, passed us all A1, and shipped us off to Ypres in Belgium,
right,
where I joined my regiment. When I got to the Ypres, the regiment was up in the Ardennes then.
Oh, right, yeah. So you went on up to
so
the
when they came back, yeah.
Oh, did you go to the Ardennes?
Yes, I was in the Ardennes.
Right, okay. So you were
but at the end of it, you know, it was nearly finished.
Right. Do you know when you went back to Europe? What sort of date, what month?
It was in December, it was.
In December, right.
About December the 14th, something like that, when we went
right,
back there.
Yeah. So you rejoined the regiment at Ypres, and then the tanks were forward in the Ardennes.
The tanks were well. What they did tell me when I after it all happened was that the Fife and Forfa were out of the line, and they were waiting for new tanks to come over from Britain, which was the Crusader tank, which was going to do the invasion of Germany, and they were a very fast tank, so. That's all we done then. After the Ardennes finished, we were going up to Ostend,
right,
picking up the tanks and fetching them back to Ypres.
Right, okay. So you actually went into the Ardennes,
yeah,
didn't you? So you joined a new tank crew, did you?
New tank crew, yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And you were back in a Sherman tank?
Yeah, back in a Sherman tank,
yeah. So what did you actually do in the Ardennes? Where did you go?
Just stopped on a road, that's all, to stop the Germans coming through. But we lost about 6 tanks, I think. I'm
really?
Not sure. I
holding
think it was 6 tanks, something like that we lost up there. But otherwise, we didn't see much of the fighting, like.
Yeah. Right. It was pretty cold by now, wasn't it?
The Americans were freezing up there.
Really?
We had waterproof and fireproof tank suits, you know. So we were all right, like.
Yeah.
You know, they covered right over with helmets and everything. Beautiful things they were. Big zips down there, like.
Yeah.
So we were all right, we were quite warm.
So you saw the Americans?
Oh,
there,
right.
Yeah.
Most of them had come up from the south of France.
Mm.
They'd come over from Italy.
Right.
And they'd done the invasion in the south of France.
Mm.
Well, they came up from south of France up to there, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But
they didn't have the clothing then?
No, they didn't have the warm clothing like we had, like.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. after that you went back to Ypres again.
I went back to Ypres then, yeah.
Yeah, and what happened then?
Well, as I say, we done a bit of training with the new tank, like. What we used to do, you had to shoot the gun in. We used to go down to Dunkirk.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Germans were still in Dunkirk at that particular time. So what they used to do, they used to TNA the gun, fire into Dunkirk. Mm-hmm. Not where the civilians were, but where the Germans were, like. Mm. And then we used to come back down to Ypres.
Mm-hmm. Good practice. And which sort of tanks were these?
The Comet.
These are the Comet. Ah. Right. And these were much faster then?
Faster tanks and a bigger gun and everything. Mm. It had a 77 long barrel gun on it. Mm. Well, it's your photograph, isn't it? Yeah. That's the photograph of it. Yeah. Right. Yeah, a different tank, yeah.
Was it very similar to drive?
Oh, simple.
Really?
Beautiful. Better. Beautiful tank to drive, yeah.
Because how fast would they go?
Well, you know, about 30 mile an hour, something like that. Mm.
It's quite fast across country,
Yeah. Mm.
So
not as we used to go fast, like, because it's always slow moving, like. Mm.
Mm. So when did you first use your Comet tank in action then?
In action when we got into Germany.
Right. Which way did you go?
We went across the Rhine at Wesel. Mm-hmm. Went across there then.
Mm. On a Bailey
pontoon bridge. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the Comet was a very wide tank. And it was just fit on the pontoon. Mm. Go across. If we'd have had that in Normandy, I don't think it'd have gone across the Pegasus Bridge. It's too wide.
Did you see any opposition then on your way into Germany?
No, it was very fast in Germany. Mm. I think we got up to the L 3 weeks in front of ourselves. Mm. Because we were up on the L, but in no time, like. Action-wise, we stopped a couple of times. We had a few casualties, like, but the biggest stop we had was by Belsen.
Right. Yeah.
Because we were leaguered up there waiting for the bridge to be put across. They blew the bridge, the Germans did. So one day a German officer came across in a boat and he wanted to surrender 5 square miles of territory because he said there's gas in the area. But what it was typhus, wasn't it, in there? Horror camp. So what they'd done, they come up and fumigated all the tanks, and all the uniforms, and all this white powder all down there. And our Major Gilmore, who was in charge of B Squadron at that particular time, had left to come home to be an MP.
Oh, really?
And he was an MP in Scotland.
Yeah.
I think he's still alive anyway.
So what did you see at Belsen then?
I didn't see nothing at Belsen at all because we bypassed the other camp.
Right.
We just went through the village of Belsen.
Yeah, right. What contact did you have at this stage with the German civilians? What did you see of them? What was their attitude?
When the tank had stopped and he was in a village or something like that, you used to go and do a bit of looting, didn't you?
You tell me.
If you went into a German house...
Yeah.
All and the family were there. They'd all be sitting in one room. Really? Sitting in one room they'd be, and they'd be looking at you. I mean, myself, personally, I couldn't take nothing. When I seen them people there, if the house had been empty and nobody there, probably I would have taken things. But when I seen them there, I just couldn't do it. Yeah. And I offered, one day I offered a bit of chocolate to the baby, and the woman jumped at me. She thought I was going to take the baby, see. She jumped at me like that.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, chocolate, you know. And she was all like that, that's what.
Yeah. So Major Gilmore was made second in command, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And Captain Loram was commanding B Squadron.
You went back
into B Squadron, did you? Yeah. What was Captain Loram like?
All right. And there was another chap by the name of Voller. Is his name down there? Mad Voller, they used to call him.
Really?
Yeah.
Who was he? Was he an officer?
Well, I reckon, I thought he took over from Gilmore myself, but you say something different there.
Well, Gilmore was made second in command.
Of the regiment. Voller was a squadron leader.
Gilmore's place. Yeah, that's right. So, and there's a story about British and German military using the same cafe. Lieutenant Bishop's troop went to Majel. Majel? patrols to Boxmere.
Where we went up through Sella. And Minden.
Right.
We bypassed Minden, we did like. As a matter of fact, when we got, just before we got to Minden, we went across a bridge. Our four tanks got across, and then they blew the bridge. So we were across this village then, and we were cut off. So what we had to do was to pull out of the village, group up, and the drivers and co-drivers had to dismount out of the tank and dig a trench and stop there for the night light. And we could see Minden being bombed at that particular time by the RAF.
Yeah.
But in the morning, it was okay, like, because they started to put the bridge across, like.
Right. Yeah. So you were a bit cut off then.
For a while.
So then you went on.
How them crew commanders read the maps, I don't know, because it was so quick that we were going, like. Yeah. And you only had to take the wrong road or something, and you'd be back in square one, like.
And there can't have been that many landmarks, can there?
No.
You know, and no signs. So you went to Brussels?
No, I didn't go. I was home on leave then.
Right.
Well, I was in hospital.
Right,
right.
Okay, yeah, that's it.
I missed the best part, didn't I?
Yeah. Missed the celebration.
After the Father's Gap, they broke through, didn't they? And went up all the way to Antwerp, didn't they?
Yes, yeah, that's right, yeah. C Squadron, Lieutenant Lamont and Lieutenant Workman's tank surrounded by infantry at Legden. That was end of March. A method of cooperating with infantry, artillery and RAF.
Good.
Yeah, that's on the advance into Germany.
Yeah.
So you were getting more information about what the RAF were doing.
Yeah.
Had communications improved a lot, or was it just...
Well, as it went on, it got better, like, didn't it?
Right. Mm. So you cross the Ems, River Ems, on the 1st of April, and then the 1st to the 3rd you cross the Dortmund Ems Canal.
Dortmund, well, there we got stuck there, mate.
Right, okay. It says ineffective German dive bomber attack.
Well, the Monmouthshire Regiment was with us then.
Right.
And there was a the Dortmund Canal, the bridge had been blown, we couldn't get across, so we had to wait for the engineers to come up. But in the meantime, there was a big ridge, and the Hitler Youngins were up there, and we didn't know this till after we'd passed there, like. But the Mons went across to establish a bridge there, and nothing happened. And all of a sudden, they get so far, and they got wiped out.
When you say the Hitler Youngins,
the younger, well, the youngsters, like a training camp. There's a big training camp at the big top of this hill, and when we got up there, you could see them, like, you know. But when you took them prisoner, but that's what all the trouble was like.
Yeah.
But they mowed the Monmouthshire Regiment down. Mm. I think the Monmouthshire Regiment got disbanded then, I think.
Right. So how young were these? These were Hitler youth.
I should think
they
should. 14 and 16, something like that. Really young.
Yeah.
It was actually a training school.
Mm. You saw them being taken prisoner, didn't you? Mm.
A lot of them wouldn't be bothered to take them prisoner anyway, would they? Like,
really?
They were so fanatical, like. Right?
Mm. That's quite frightening to be against someone that fanatical, isn't it?
Terrible.
Because generally, I imagine...
They're same as the SS, like, you know. Oh. Same type of thing, like.
Because I imagine a lot of the Germans would give themselves up when they knew they were beaten.
Well, the Wehrmacht was pretty good, like. Mm. They already common German soldier, like, they, no problem at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the infantry, very rare, took a prisoner if he was an SAS. Mm. First thing they used to look for, they tattooed up here or something on their arm. Mm. They used to lift their sleeve or pull their sleeve over, like, and find it.
Yeah. So the SS were universally hated then, weren't they?
Oh, they were the hardliners, weren't they? Mm.
So, that's right, slow progress supporting Monmouth's German counterattacks. role protecting Bridgehead on arrival of 131 Brigade.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
No.
Right. Rapid advance through Germany, 5th to the 10th of April. Action at Glissen. Crossing the Weser at Pershagen. Fighting at Locum. Death of Major Loram, commanding B Squadron. Do you remember that?
That's what I say, that the tank behind us got blown up, so he went there. When we went across the bridge, the bridge blown, but the next tank coming behind caught it
right, as
he was blown up.
Yeah, that's right. It says here, when the scout car overshot the front line.
Yeah.
Advanced to Rodewald. Stiff German resistance over Bearshaft, Bauerschaft. Neustadt, stiff German resistance at Schwanstedt. Fatal accident when Comet fired 76mm gun on going into harbour at Esperk. Driver Tommy Smith killed, and second in command John Gilmore wounded.
Yeah. Where was that to?
That was at harbour at Esperk, E-S-P-E-R-K.
Was it this side of the Elbe?
Yes, probably, I think, yes, if we crossed, yes.
This side of the Elbe.
Yeah, before you got to the Elbe, yeah.
Because a friend of mine from Swansea, he was in A Squadron. Right. He was a driver, and they got cut off, and they were running short of ammo, so he dismounted to get across to get some ammo, like, and a sniper got him and killed him.
Oh, yeah.
A chap from Swansea, yeah. I mean, it wasn't many days before the war, well, it wasn't a month or so before the war finished. Like.
Negotiation over Belsenkamp. Advance via Vinsen, Votthausen, Hassel and Sulz. Fighting at Muiden.
Minden,
yeah.
Yeah, that's what I just told you about.
Yeah, that's it. Advance via Fassberg Airfield to Einke.
A cellar, that is. Yeah, there's rumours that Sella.
Was it? Oh, it's got E-I-N-K-E here. Crossing Lüneburg Heath.
Lüneburg Heath.
Yeah. Do you remember crossing there?
After the war, I'd done some training on there.
Oh, right. You know it quite well then. Advance to Vincent to River Elbe.
River Elbe, yeah.
Okay. Rest period in Vincent facing the Elbe, repelling German counterattack. And then crossing the Elbe on the 29th of April.
Yeah, B Squadron.
Yeah. You went across the Elbe, then, did you? Yeah. What was it like crossing
the Elbe? We weren't supposed to go across there, were we?
I don't know.
No.
You tell me.
No, when the Potsdam Agreement was arranged, as far as the British Army and the American armies to go was the Elbe. That's the farthest they should go.
Right, yeah.
But they wanted to stop the Russians going into Denmark, I think. So they decided to go across. And B Squadron led the attack to Lübeck.
Oh, right. How much resistance did you get?
Not much.
Not much, yeah.
No. When we got into Lübeck itself, there was no resistance at all. They were just giving themselves up because the Russians weren't far away from them, see? So they preferred to be for us to take it. But our operator, as we were going into Lübeck, the gun goes like that, see, when you're going in through the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Keeps on going like that. Not firing.
Right.
Just going like that, just in case.
Yeah, just in case. Doing it. Yeah.
So he must have slipped, and he caught the muscle of his leg. And he terrible state on it, like. So when we got to this crossroads where we supposed to stop, the crew commander said to me, he said, get down and see if you can find hospital. So, well, there was an hospital to the right of us. I looked at him like, I thought, Christ, I'm not going in there. Like, so anyway, I had a pistol. I said, throw me a Sten gun down. So he gave me a Sten gun. So I goes into this building. I opens it. Like, it looked like an hospital. Opened these big doors, is it? It was full of bloody Germans. Full of them.
Civilians.
Soldiers.
Soldiers.
Full of them they were. So I happened to say to a doctor, like, Yes, yeah. So I went back to the tank and I said to the Kruger man, I said, there's a doctor there. So I gets the chap out of the tank, takes him in. He ended up in Newport, Royal Gwent Hospital, he did. But he reckons that the Germans saved his leg. They done his leg up, you know, done it all up.
Yeah.
And I left him there, like, you know. Because the Germans had given in anyway, because Lübeck was declared an open town, like. So an open city or whatever it was. So they'd given up and they looked after him, right?
Yeah.
So what I'd done, I went back to the tank and got some cigarettes. Took them in and gave them to him, like.
Oh,
no. We went from there, then from Lübeck, up to Kiel.
Uh-huh.
Right?
And so you went along the motorway, did you?
Yeah. From Kiel, then we went up to Flensburg. Mm-hmm. Or, and then we went up to, Schleswig?
Mm-hmm.
Schleswig-Holstein. And then up to Flensburg, I think it was.
Right.
And then you weren't far from the Danish border.
Right.
And the war finished.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, were you having to, I mean, you weren't just sort of going through after the Elbe without any opposition. I mean, were you having
No, not fighting at all.
No.
The only trouble that you would have, if you stopped in a village or a town, you might get the occasional sniper. Otherwise, there was no opposition at all. It was just, well, as I said, they were worried about the Russians. So they were just glad to see us.
Yeah, they were quite scared of the Russians.
Yeah, they were scared of the Russians, all right.
Mm-hmm. So, what condition were the German civilians in? Were they?
Well, at that part of the country, they'd never seen much of the war, did they? You know, up there. But they seemed to be pretty good, like.
Mm-hmm. Reasonably well fed.
Yeah, they seemed to be all right.
Yeah.
Of course, there was a fat ban on, like, you couldn't talk to them, like.
Right.
You couldn't talk to them for 6 months after the war, like.
Yeah.
So, there was a fat ban on, like.
Yeah. So, do you think that was a German military hospital that you...
Yes, I think it was.
Right. So, those were injured soldiers in there. That was the 30th of April.
Yeah.
Got the date here. A lot of displaced persons about. Did you see displaced persons?
Did I see them?
Yeah.
I got fed up with them, to be honest. Yeah. After the war, you're talking about after the war now?
Well, I was talking about just before the end.
Just before the end, I see them,
I mean, they were
see the prisoners of war as we were taken different, like Osnabrück, when we went through Osnabrück. British prisoners.
Really?
See? American prisoners.
Yeah.
And then you get the DPs, like, and, you know, a lot of voluntary people have worked for the Germans, like.
Yeah.
But, of course, they were claiming innocence that they'd never done these things, like, but forced labour, it was called, wasn't it?
Yeah. So where do you see the British POWs? Were they...
First lot I see was in Osnabrück.
Right.
Just outside Osnabrück.
They were walking about in a prison, yeah. What was their attitude to you?
Well, they looked reasonably... Some of them looked reasonably well, like, but... I don't know whether they were... people were fed them or not, I don't know, but... Of course, when the invasion started, normally probably the German people themselves thought this is the end of the war, or the German soldiers probably thought the same and all, because the ones that were looking after the prisoner of war camps weren't the elite soldiers like they were, So probably you're thinking, oh, you better feed these up a bit now before, so they were probably better off.
Yeah, it might have been. So HQ and B Squadron were at Eckhorst on the 30th of April. That's where you stayed, and you were there for VE Day, were you?
Yeah.
Eckhorst, yeah.
Like, you know, as I say, when the war finished in May, didn't it?
It was the 8th of May, yeah.
8th of May, yeah.
Well, where were you then, do you know?
We're nearly up in Denmark then.
Right. Did you celebrate?
Pardon?
Did you?
Celebrate, we were glad it was over, like.
Yeah.
But,
did you celebrate, or did anyone make a speech, or...
No, they just come into the mess hall and wherever you're having food, like, you know. What we used to do when we take a place like that, is clear all the Germans out, like, and take over. When we got to this place up in the Bob, well, not far from Denmark, like, all they'd done was give the Germans so many hours to get out and take what they want, and then we use their houses as billets, like.
Right. Yeah. So it was quite comfortable there, wasn't it?
Yeah, quite comfortable.
Yeah.
Still had to sleep on the floor, mind, but
You haven't had many beds, had you, since you came to Europe? Yeah. So what were your feelings that the war was over? Because it meant, I mean, you weren't going to get killed.
Glad. Glad I was.
Yeah.
Mind you, you didn't know where you're going to get killed after, because you never know what the feeling of the Germans were. Like, you know, you could be walking along the street one day and somebody could do something to you, like, you never know.
Were you aware that there were odd sort of one-off individuals out there with sniper guns?
Yeah, I was aware of that. Well, what we'd done, we were watching the Germans coming out of Norway. As they were coming out of Norway, so they, we were just taking all their weapons and everything, you know, off them, and how they were coming out like.
Okay. Cliff Pember, end of reel 4.